Hey, if you're lucky today and you look up in the sky's blue, there are some clouds. You might see the opening of The Simpsons as you're driving into the city today.
It does look a little similar. You're right.
Do you watch The Simpsons pretty religiously,
yeah,
don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I
love it.
We'll find out exactly how many years it's been on, but is it the longest running animated series on television?
Oh, by far. Yeah, I think it's I think it's 27 years, right? Something like that.
Well, we've got a Simpsonologist we're going to talk to in just a second. A few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, they did a special Simpsons, which I like. They keep it fresh. They do different things.
Mm-hmm.
This was at the very end, the last 3 minutes. They had Homer sitting there in animated form, voiced, of course, by Dan Castellaneta, and people were calling in phone calls to talk to Homer.
Right.
And you watched it as well. It didn't go swimmingly. There was a problem with the phone connection, kind of like we have here at WGN.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of a delay going on.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one question that he was asked, and they wanted to know, do you prefer Chicago deep dish or New York-style pizza? Now, Homer's response was, let's see, I prefer Chicago deep dish because I like Italian better than Chinese. I didn't really get that. I still don't know if I do.
Not sure I do either.
But we have a Simpsonologist, a writer, a teacher, a sci-fi comics geek, Karma Waltonen. Hi, Karma. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. Now, you and your Chicago partner, Denise DuVernay, co-wrote The Simpsons in the Classroom. And why do you think Homer made the right choice by choosing Chicago deep dish?
Because he loves cheese.
You know
right?
what? That is the end of discussion.
Yeah.
And there's no cheese in Chinese food. Is that? I never got that.
Well, I mean, you know, Chicago is really famous for having more of everything, right? So the crust is thicker and there's way more cheese on it. And of course, Homer's going to go for the slice of pizza that's going to give him the most pizza.
That makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
It does. Come on. So how many years has The Simpsons been on the air now? How many seasons?
We are on season 27, but it was on The Tracy Ullman Show as a short for a couple years before then. So it got its own show in 89, but it was on The Tracy Ullman Show as early as 87.
In a very archaic form.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So different, right?
It was really different, but a lot of the staff and crew and everybody is the same. So the voices are the same people. You have the same music editor from back then. David Silverman was working on the animation that early. So, I mean, the show changed, of course, when it got its own show. They said, well, if this is going to be a thing, we should polish it a bit.
Why was Homer's voice so Walter Matthau-like during the Tracy Ullman shorts?
I think that it's because the show was more about Bart and Bart getting in trouble. And Homer, if you watch those really early episodes, he's much more together.
Yeah.
Like, you know, much more together. And
he's not as bumbling.
He's sort of the regular bumbling dad.
Yeah.
But he's not Homer yet. And then I think they figured out once they had the sitcom that really, if they exaggerated the Homer character, that's what we would be drawn to. And the show sort of lost its central focus being about Bart. And we really, you know, came to embrace Homer in a much different way. And so his voice solidified and got a lot goofier because he got a lot goofier.
And Karma, would you also agree that the show really hit its stride when they realized not just Homer, not just Bart, not just the Simpson family, but explore Springfield and find out all the rich characters, right?
Yeah. I mean, this menagerie of people is so amazing. And, you know, we come to know their stories and we care for them. You know, that we have these relationships with the Quickie Mart, Apu, you know, who they're getting their food from, but who they're also genuinely friends with, and being able to explore those things are great.
All right. Well, when are we going to find out about Maggie? She's not really growing up, is she?
None of them are growing up.
I know, but I'd still that's where it's the more noticeable part of it. You know, Lisa and Bart, you feel like in your mind they've aged, they've moved on to various different activities in life, and they're growing up. But Maggie's still, you know.
Well, I mean, but she has these moments where she shows that she does have this rich inner life. It's just we're not focusing on her. But she has a nemesis, right? The baby with the unibrow.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Brezhnev the baby.
Who's, you know, her enemy. And she, in some of the very earliest cartoons, when she's playing with her blocks, she's doing things with them, and most people aren't looking, but she's, like, setting up E equals MC squared.
So she's more like Lisa than Bart.
Yeah.
She's way more like Lisa than Bart, although they did have an episode recently where Bart uses her to help prank people.
Mm-hmm.
And she seems actively engaged in it, and Homer actually comes to him and says, I don't want her becoming like you, so knock it off. And sort of, I want her to use her intelligence for good, not evil.
Yeah.
Because Bart's really smart. It's just he's smart in a completely different way. Some of the pranks he pulls are amazing, and they take planning and they take effort. I think my favorite one is when he repaints all of the teacher parking lot lines in the teacher parking lot to be too small.
Mm-hmm.
So they all get mad at each other because they can't get out of their cars, mm-hmm. and they're accusing each other of parking too close. I mean, that, he repaints the whole parking lot.
So he's brilliant. An evil genius.
Sure. Sure.
Yes, totally.
Now, Carmen, the book you co-wrote, The Simpsons in the Classroom, implies that you could go to a school and learn about The Simpsons right there in a classroom. That's reality?
That's reality in a lot of classrooms, including mine. I mean, I have a class that's just on The Simpsons called The Simpsons Satire and Postmodernism, and we sort of look at both what's happening in the genre as a satire, but also sort of looking at American culture through the show. So what does it tell us about religion in America? What does it tell us about different ethnicities? What does it tell us about politics?
Is this high school? Is it college? What grade is this?
And I'm at the college level.
Has anyone ever flunked this class? Because if they do, they're really stupid.
I haven't had anybody flunk the class. I had a guy who came really close, but that's because he wasn't doing the work. And, you know, it's just kind of like, really, your homework is to watch The Simpsons
right.
and write
it's
about
not
it.
That
you
hard.
Can't
right.
do that.
He deserves to flunk. You should have flunked him.
Now, you brought up the religious angle, Karma. I know there's been at least one and possibly more than one book written about the fact that The Simpsons has been called one of the most religious shows on television, that there's a lot of people who really value a lot of the characters on the show are extremely religious. You agree with that?
I do. And I was actually asked to give a talk, a sermon kind of thing, at our Unitarian church here in Davis last summer about that. And so, yeah, I was talking about how there's really a view of American religion that's kind of nostalgic. Most of the characters go to church in that town or to synagogue or wherever they're going. You know, this is still the place that mom is dragging you to.
That's true. It never really sunk in.
The whole community is there. And that is a picture of an America from my childhood, but it's not a picture of America right now.
Yeah.
And Homer trying to get out of church a lot of the times. It's a typical family growing up here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you also have so many episodes where they really explore what it means to have faith. There's an episode where Lisa decides she doesn't like the direction her church is going, and she has to find a new spiritual path for herself. And so you see not only that journey, but you see her mother getting extremely upset that her daughter is going to leave their religion.
Yeah. Yep.
And trying to bribe her and blackmail her and control her.
Mm-hmm.
In all of these pretty fantastic ways. But I, as someone who was raised in a religion that I'm no longer a part of, I was raised Southern Baptist, which is just not me.
Yeah.
But I had to go through something very similar and, you know, with a similar reaction from my family when I'd say, this is not what I believe.
I know that Reverend Lovejoy from time to time has questioned his own faith. I know that Ned Flanders is deeply religious, has had questions. Krusty's father, Rabbi Krestovsky, they had an interesting relationship about religion. So, yeah, it's very evident.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all over. And, yeah, a lot of people have, of course, written about how there's a fundamental affection for religion when that religion is used for good. I mean, we're going back to good and evil here, right? But if you're using religion to judge other people or to hurt other people or use mind control over other people, that's wrong. But if it's about finding out what is the right decision to make because you're having a crisis,
Karma,
then that's always seen as a good thing.
Karma Waltonen on the line. Karma's your real first name because I'm digging it.
It is. It is.
Hippie parents? Hippie Baptist parents?
my mother was a Southern Baptist. My father was a Buddhist. And so she let him pick the name, which actually in other countries it's a boy's name. I guess that wasn't important. So, you know, I got this cool name out of it. Their marriage didn't last very long.
Oh.
Mix that Southern Baptist with a Buddhist and you don't get anything really good. But no, but it's an interesting name to carry with me for sure. It does mean I also have to try to do the right thing, right?
The Simpsons in the
reminder.
Yes, absolutely. The Simpsons in the Classroom is the name of the book. You don't have to be enrolled in Karma Waltonen's class to enjoy it. I have to read it because really I didn't think about all the religious mentions in that. And you know, Marge is a pretty decent mom. She really does try. Mm-hmm. Oh, my special little guy. And Bill, someone's requesting your Homer. Some listener's daughter wants to hear some.
What do they want to hear?
Do you do any impersonations from The Simpsons, Karma?
I don't usually. I mean, you know, Ralph is fairly easy, right? My cat breath smells like cat food. You know,
beautiful.
He gets just kind of this baby.
You can do Nelson, too. Come on.
He's a little gravelly for me. Well, there's a ha-ha, but also the show you later. You know,
oh, beautiful.
Quite do with
nicely
that,
done.
I want to take her class, Bill.
Fly us in, Karma. We need to take your class.
I know. We'd have such fun together.
I know.
Now, where is you said you teach at the college level. Where are you located right now?
I'm at the University of California, Davis.
All right. Well, if somebody's out there and wants to take the Simpsons class, if you flunk it, you're going to have to deal with us because really, it's watching
no
the
excuse.
Simpsons.
Yeah, easy. Karma, great to talk to you, and we hope the book does well. It's The Simpsons in the Classroom, written by Karma Waltonen. Have a great week.
Thank you. I had a great time.
Good. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll do some news. News is coming up at the end of the hour, and then more show, Bill and Wendy WGN.